Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett and I'll be your host for this program. This is another in our ongoing series, The News in Review. Once again, the focus of the program will be on the two Florida cases, Haley Cummings and Kaylee Anthony. Joining me in the studio is my wife, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Simon. I'd like to quickly say real quick, while I got a chance, happy birthday to my grandson, Tyler. He made 5 years old today.
All righty.
Happy birthday to from Grandma.
Well, I mean, Jan, what do you think this is? The Nancy Grace Show?
Could be.
I mean, next thing you'll be showing pictures of him.
Well, we're on the radio. It's kind of hard to do that.
From Gainesville, Florida, we have the news and programming director for WSKY 97.3, TJ Hart.
And I'd like to display for you my chins, plural. Look at the twins. No, I'm only kidding. happy birthday, Tyler, and good afternoon to everybody. I've had some caffeine, folks.
But how about them Saints?
Hey, who dat nation?
Who dat?
Yeah, I wish I was gonna be in Miami next week.
Actually, Jan wanted me to call you and see if you had any media pull to
get a couple of tickets. The radio stations that carry both the teams, the Saints and the Colts, are owned by our company.
Uh-oh.
But I'll tell you what they told me. Nice try! But I will tell you, the folks in New Orleans are just silly. My good friend Bobby Hebert, who used to be their quarterback and is now one of the radio announcers.
I know Bobby Hebert.
Yeah, they're just a bunch of men wearing dresses. they are having some kind of a body party there to man up for Who Dat Nation. It's just a bunch of men wearing dresses. And I have no idea what the hell it's all about, but everybody in New Orleans is going crazy for it.
Well, you know, it is Mardi Gras time, too, so.
It might be it.
Yeah.
Oh, scary. They'll be throwing beads on the field. Okay. From Sin City, Nevada, we have crime writer and author Denny Griffin. Denny, hello.
Good afternoon, Simon and everybody. Glad to be with you again.
Hey.
Denny, I know you're a busy guy at the moment. Let's give a couple of your adventures a bit of a plug here. You have a Blog Talk Radio show on February the 3rd, if I remember correctly. What's that all about?
Yeah, you're correct, Simon. On February 3rd at 9 p.m. Eastern, we're doing a BTR show about missing and exploited children. And we'll be discussing, I'm sure, Haley a little bit on there and all the other kids who are missing and or exploited and don't get the attention that Haley or Kaylee Anthony received. And the panelists are going to be Delilah Jones, co-founder of Peace for the Missing, Derek Van Lushane, founder and president of Ryan United. And that's a nonprofit organization dedicated to Derek's brother, who at the age of 8 was abducted and murdered by a repeat sex offender. And also, I'm proud to say, Simon and Jan Barrett are going to be on with me, so we're really looking forward to it.
It should be a wonderful show. And on February the 18th, I understand you'll be hobnobbing with one of your ex-gangster buddies at the Stratosphere.
That's right. Our debut show for the Mob Chronicles is on February 18th in the showroom at the Stratosphere, the Galaxy Theater, at 7:30 p.m. local time. And Frank Collada is going to be the featured speaker for the evening, and we're really looking forward to it, anticipating a great time.
Oh, it sounds fascinating. And you also are working on a mobster cruise, I understand.
Exactly. we put together a cruise called Mystery on the High Seas, a cruise to die for. And Carnival.
Wow.
It's November 14th through the 21st, and it leaves out of L.A. It's the Mexican Riviera cruise, and we're going to have fiction crime and crime authors and screenplay people, and I'm in charge of setting up the true crime events, which will feature former mobsters from across the country, and we're going to span about 50 years of organized crime, Italian mafia, organized crime in the United States. So looking forward to that also, and if anyone's interested in that and wants more information, you can contact Beverly at 888-900-8020. And thank you for the opportunity to mention all this stuff.
Oh, no problem. Also joining us today is investigative reporter Levi Page. Levi, it's great to have you on the program.
Thank you, as always, Simon.
Well, what's new with you? Do you have any exciting projects on the go?
No, I don't know.
you're not playing any mobster cruises or anything like that?
No. But maybe they can do some hits for me.
Right. Our phone lines are open. And the number to call is area code 646-378-1120. Or you can always ask your questions in our chat room. Okay, on with the program. Let's start with a quick Kaylee Anthony update. She was found guilty on the fraud case. Actually, she pled guilty. And in a plea bargain, they have agreed that time served and a year's probation should she ever get out.
Supervised probation.
Oh, supervised probation. But, you know, what I want to ask the panel, though, is this is a felony charge. I wonder how this might affect the capital murder case.
Well, they can't go in court and say that she has not, that she's got a clear record anymore.
Oh, you mean Andrea, I have never lost the capital case Lyons.
Right. She can't use that line no more, that she was never convicted of a crime before. They can't say that she's such an innocent little girl anymore. That's one good thing.
Levi, you follow this story fairly closely. What's your thoughts on it?
You know, what I think is going to be interesting is maybe we're going to see a rift in the defense team. Maybe Andrea Lyon would want Casey to plead guilty for this and go straight to the death penalty phase. But maybe Jose Baez wouldn't want to do that, because then maybe Jose Baez wouldn't get the attention that he wants because he's not a death-qualified attorney. So I think it'll be interesting to see what's going on inside the defense meetings. I'd like to be a fly in the wall. I think there's going to be a rift.
Well, he claims that just because she pled guilty to the fraud case, the check fraud, that she's not going to plead guilty to the murder case. So, I don't know.
Denny, my take on it is that neither the prosecution nor the defense really wanted a trial. It would open too many doors. But what's your opinion on that?
Well, you're probably right. I can assume they both wanted to get on to the main issue, but I agree with Jane. At least I think by this guilty plea, it certainly doesn't. I can't see where it helps her going into the murder trial. It helps Casey, and even if it doesn't do any major harm, it certainly, I don't see how it can do her a whole lot of good. So I would have to say my thought is that this probably, if anything, would have favored the prosecution a little bit.
I think that's one of the reasons they pushed so hard to get it thrown out, because they didn't want to go in on the murder charge with this if she was found guilty, and to say that she was, now she's got the felony charges on her, you know, that she was found guilty on felony charges. So, I don't know.
I don't know if anyone else has this same impression, but it seems to me that Baez and his dwarfs seem to have cooled on the Zanny the Nanny did it, and also the Grunz did it. That they now seem to be going along the Roy Crump did it road.
Yeah, but, I mean, that don't make any sense either to me, but that. I think they're doing it just to kind of get the focus off of the, or to either that, to get the focus off of Haley, but I think that they're doing it to cause the doubt in the jury's mind. I mean, they, you know, you can, if they're going to put it out, because he's trying to say they're not accusing Kronk of anything, but they just think that he should be investigated. Okay, so that to me sounds like it's just a way to make the jury think, okay, well, it is possible that Casey didn't do this. So put a little doubt in there and then take, therefore not want to give her the death penalty just in case she didn't do it. I mean, that's my opinion, but that's the way it sounds to me.
Carry on. Levi?
I think that was TJ trying to get in.
Oh.
It was me, actually.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
The voice of Sin City. No, it was, I was just thinking about what Jane said, and not only maybe narrow that a little bit, not the jury, but a juror, because that's all they need. They need
right,
to convince one.
That's
so,
right.
That could very well be the strategy. All they got to do is convince one person that maybe.
Right.
That will be a victory, I guess.
Right. A delightful piece of information that came out this week was actually from supposedly Roy Kronk's ex-wife. Several years ago, when they were still married, he apparently tied her up with, guess what? Duct tape.
Okay.
Well, lots of people for duct tape, you know? Lots of people use duct tape for things.
But that's not going to work because the duct tape that was on those, I think it was the gas cans that were in Casey's trunk, is the same brand of duct tape, and
right.
They can match it to the duct tape that was around her mouth and nose. So.
Yeah, that's what I said too, but they seem to think that they can try to tie it in with Roy Kronk somehow. And they want to say, they said too, there was a report that I read where they said that they was trying to figure out what's the connection between Kronk and Casey, and Baez says that he won't say now, but it'll all come out in court. he's just grasping at straws is all. He's trying his best to get his client off, and he's doing a very poorly good job of it, if you ask me, but that's what it sounds
he's
like.
He's awful.
But by the way, it's just occurred to me that tomorrow is February the 1st.
Oh, that's true.
Isn't he supposed to be in court to explain why all charges should be dropped against his client?
That is true. I forgot about that. But that is true. He's supposed to be tomorrow to prove what they were talking about, the evidence that they claim could get her off. They were supposed to give it. They had until tomorrow to do it, so we'll see, I guess.
Okay, let's move along. Let's move on to the Haley Cummings case, and it's been another interesting week. TJ, give us the lowlights of what went down this week.
Well, first of all, there was the exclusive that you read about on BNN and the sky973.com. Whereby Ronald Cummings was transferred from the Flagler County Jail to the Putnam County Jail. He'd been in isolation, complained that the lights were on, he couldn't sleep, never got to go out and get any recreation and what have you. And, lo and behold, a little while later, he met the criteria, according to Lieutenant Johnny Greenwood, to be transferred to the Putnam County Jail, which I will tell you is not quite as nice as the Flagler County Jail. They need a new jail in Putnam County badly, and they've been trying to raise money for it for quite a long time. It's not in good shape, so it's careful what you ask for. Now, Lieutenant Johnny Greenwood told me in a communique that investigators assigned to the narcotics investigation determined that it was no longer necessary to keep Mr. Cummings segregated in this case, and that the decision was made to return him to Putnam County. And he goes on to say, each of Ronald Cummings' charges for trafficking in prescription medications took place in Putnam County, and the proper correctional facility for him to be housed pending his trial is in Putnam County. And that's all he had to say about that. And then we had Tommy Crosland, another exclusive with BNN, and thesky973.com. Believe me, folks, I'm building to a point. Tommy Croslin faces new charges for some crimes that were not related to the case, and he can thank his sis, Misty, who, after she had been Mirandized, mentioned that there were some items in the house as the result of a burglary. We could go through the list. It would be too funny to do it, but he's charged with the burglary of a dwelling, armed because becomes armed with a dangerous weapon, because he got a 12-gauge pump shotgun out of the deal, theft of a firearm, and grand theft of a firearm less than $300. Now, also, there was some hooch, there was some rum, five miniature bottles of Jim Beam, some DVDs, a Game Boy, and a quick trip to the grocery store, it looked like to me, except for no food. He got a Gatorade bottle full of some change, maybe a dollar in currency, but maybe in an attempt to get a clean getaway, he stole a container of soft soap and two 24-ounce bottles of Dawn dishwashing liquid. You know something? I just look at that boy and I just scratch my head and I just think, whatever, you know? Whatever. But that, of course, did happen. Another incident that took place was Donna Brock, and I'm going to throw that back to the BNN side of this equation, because I found out a lot of information on Ms. Donna Brock, and I quickly handed it off to Jan and Simon to do something with this. Because although I am married to a person who has her master's degree in legal studies, it's all Greek to me, and you folks were able to break it down. I guess a special trial is going to be held before anything else in regards to Ms. Donna Brock. And I think Simon and Jan, you've done the homework on some of the other things that have just been kind of splintering out from this little explosion within an explosion. So I'll give it back to you. For your exclusive on BNN.
Exclusive. Okay. Let's come back to that. I'm sure you want to build to your crescendo.
Oh, yes. Boy, there was a great article in the Florida Times-Union today. And they were wondering, you know, what the hell's an exclusive anymore? And it was all about it. The video or the audio, folks, that everybody, including me, has heard. And I will tell you, I got it off Jacksonville.com. And the reason why is because a great reporter and a guy I respect is Dana Treen. And Dana Treen has been working as hard on this Haley case as anybody else, bar none. Why? Because to Dana Treen, it's also a local story, just like it is, you know, my little humble area of Gainesville. Dana's got the Jacksonville end of the equation. Well, Nancy Grace show is going exclusive, bombshell, audio, first time ever. Well, I'm sorry, it was like second or third time ever, because it was about 3 days out by the time they got it. And second of all, it wasn't their audio. It was Dana Treen's audio. Dana Treen wrote this, I think, for the Sunday paper last week.
In fact, the article, if we're talking about the same one, went on to point out the fact that Nancy Grace did not give credit, even.
Mm-mm. No, and you got to be careful about that. There's a lot of that stuff going around, and it's not like a bunch of us are, chest-pounding ego heads. I mean, I let off with those stories by saying exclusive, 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 to let everybody know that there's nothing new under the sun. If you got an exclusive, hey, yeah, that's fine. But it does get thrown around rather willy-nilly. And not only here, but on other, not only in this case with Nancy Grace, but also on some websites, too. And it's like, come on, folks, you know, just play fair.
Oh, indeed. All right.
And if you get the chance, go to the Jacksonville.com and read the story after this radio show, because it's their exclusive and it's very well written.
Right.
It is. And they don't use the word exclusive in the title.
No.
As opposed to some other people.
That was a little inside baseball, but for the folks who are about as inside as they can get, and that would be the folks who have been participating on the blog, it's well worth your time and effort to read that. I don't know about you guys, but I about split my coffee through across the room after I took my first sip and started reading that. I said, well, boy, that was spot on.
I have to admit, I read it, and I couldn't stop laughing long enough to send it on to Jan.
And then I laughed.
Yeah, a classic indeed. Levi, what's your take on what's come down the pike this week?
You know, what is interesting to me is that Ronald was moved to Putnam County Jail, and he was also put in general population, correct?
It would appear he was in isolation in Flagler.
Yes. Do we know if he approves of this move, if he approves going into general population? Because if you listen to that audio that you guys were just talking about, he was going on and on and on about how small his jail cell was, how he only got to see, I think, the person that gives him his breakfast and his dinner. That was the only person he ever got to see, and he kept complaining and whining, blah, 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 blah. You know, 90% of the interview that he did with that local paper, it was 90% about him, 10% about Haley. So,
now we're getting a very good perspective on how this whole group has been operating, Levi, and I'm glad you pointed that out. It's always been about 90 to 95% about them and their creature comforts, and maybe a little bit about a child who's missing. And I'm talking about all the players involved.
Yes,
right.
I agree.
I'm glad you pointed that out.
And I just wonder if Ronald approves of this move, if he wanted to go to general population.
But does he have a choice? Or should he have a choice?
Well, no. Not really.
Levi, I tell you what, there's also this little thing that's called be careful what you ask for, you just might get it.
Yeah.
Have you heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's what's going on in the Putnam County Jail that is, for Mr. Cummings, I don't know that he got a very good welcome, because there are a lot of people in there who are very upset about this whole Haley case for a variety of different reasons. But many of the people who are upset about this Haley case are on the drug side of an equation, who feel that it was those Haley folks who brought those TV, radio, and internet folks onto their turf, bringing their cameras and their microphones and showing things. Oh, I don't know, the revocation of bond for Nene Pravat and Jerome Williams' whorehouse. I don't know. And places where he allegedly made drug deals. But it seems that a lot of people went to prison, and there was a multi-million-dollar drug bust right there in the middle of all of that with, quote, TV cameras, microphones and stuff being brought in to talk to, quote, and I'm quoting, paraphrasing, I guess, Jerome Williams, those Haley folks. And he sees that whole bunch as the reason he's behind jail. I've met Jerome Williams. Jerome's got a temper. Jerome is a pretty dangerous feller. And the people he runs with are very dangerous people. And I think the dozen or so that I'm talking about, if I'm not mistaken, are all in the Putnam County Jail. And that might not be a good thing. I'm just saying it might not be a good thing for Mr. Cummings to, for his own health and safety, to have been transferred there.
Ouch.
Because if somebody's going to take it out, even though he's not been pointed out as a person of interest in the disappearance of his daughter, and he may well, for all intents and purposes, simply be a man who's going to do a lot of time on some drug charges unrelated to the disappearance of his daughter, they still see him as someone of what they call those Haley folks, and that would be an interesting situation. And hopefully it doesn't get crazy and stupid, because I could see a flashpoint happening there for those folks not taking responsibility for the reason they are in jail and deflecting it and projecting it upon him.
Denny, when I heard that he'd been transferred to back to Putnam County, I also thought, you know, ouch, he's not going to like life, you know. A lot of his ex-buddies are also behind bars. Do you think this is another way to add some pressure to him?
I would not be at all surprised from what you and TJ are saying that, you know, the more uncomfortable he is, that might be the best shot at getting some Haley information, which is what this is all about. I mean, from my perspective, it's all about trying to get to what happened to Haley. So that would seem to be kind of a logical move. If I was calling the shots, I would want to make him more compliant or more eager to maybe talk, and the more uncomfortable he is, within legal limits, of course, probably the better.
Levi, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yes, I think Denny made an excellent point. You know, we keep talking about how this is two separate cases, but make no mistake about it. These people's bonds are so high, and they're so high for a reason. They don't want to take any chances of these people to get out of jail at all. And the reason is because they want to try to crack somebody in the Haley Cummings case. They want to find out where this child is. So while we do have parallel investigations, they do meet each other. And I think that the ultimate strategy here, and Ronald said it, they said that, you know, we're not here to put you in jail. We're here to find Haley. And they, you know, it's interesting about all of the people that have been in jail. We have Donna Brock, who allegedly has tape. We have Hank, who knocked on their door that night and injected himself into this entire case when he was arrested prior to this. We have Misty, who obviously has failed a polygraph, failed a layered voice analysis. We have Ronald, who many people believe are pulling Misty's strings. The reason that he divorced her was simply PR flack. He was getting hammered for it on Nancy Grace's show. And when he divorced her because he didn't want to be seen as, you know, guilty along with her, but yet he's still with her through the holidays, yet he's still drug trafficking with her, and he says that she's nothing but an ex-wife and friend that you're trafficking drugs with. But, you know, this, why is he staying with her? Does she have dirt on him? Is he worried that she might spill the beans on something that he did that night? And let's not forget about Ronald and all of his past relationships with Crystal, with Amber Brooks. You know, there's been a lot of allegations of domestic violence. I don't know if all of them are true, but usually where there's smoke, there's fire. So I think that they have all of these people in jail for a reason. Their bail is high for a reason. Somebody's going to talk. And right now I think that Ronald, what was interesting, you know, back to his interview that he gave, everything was about him. And in the, let me just talk about, you know, he says he's going to kill whoever did this. He's going to kill them. You notice that everything else, he was quiet, calm, and then his voice raised and he was dramatic. He is trying to prove to people, and I think he's doing an awful job of it. He's being very overdramatic, that he had nothing to do with this, and he keeps on, I'm going to kill him, that lame excuse. Wait a second, if you believe your daughter's alive, which he, I think you said in a prior interview, you don't talk, you're going to kill someone who has your daughter. You're like, hey, bring them home. We're not going to press charges. We're not going to do anything. All we want is our daughter home. But that's not what he's doing. And I think that Ronald is knee-deep in this, and I think he's guilty. I think he is guilty of something. I don't know what it is, but he's just too dang suspicious.
Mm. Simon.
Yes.
You know, I mentioned this last week. We're talking about somebody talking, one of these defendants locked up in the drug charges. And we talked about it last week, and I remember one of my comments was to somebody, it might have been TJ, was talking about Misty having to make some decisions, you know, as to how she wanted to play this. And I mentioned that Misty should keep in mind that generally the first one in the DA's door with the best information gets the best deal. And that if she waits too long, they might not need her, depending what other people have to offer. And I listened to Levi's show last week, and his attorney, the attorney that was on the panel, mentioned that same exact thing. So if I'm right and if that attorney's right, somebody ought to be doing something pretty soon to make sure they get their foot in the door first.
Yes. I think what we're seeing is a gradual increase of pressure on all of the people that are behind bars. And it's interesting. I called it wrong. I assumed that once they had the happy bunch, you know, the deals would start being put on the table. But exactly the opposite is happening. All right. Ron is back in Putnam, and I'm sure he's very uncomfortable. Tommy is now facing even more charges. So they're not putting deals on the table. They're going the opposite way. You know, they're saying we're just going to keep on until someone breaks. is that how you see it, TJ?
Well, yeah, indeed. The first person who tipped a little was, of course, Misty, when she said, and I think it was not tipping, it was just deflecting, like, don't look at me, but you might want to check my brother. I think he stole something. I'm not the one you were looking for. So she already, did a little, dump. I think she and Tommy take turns, just pooping in each other's yards, if you ask me, like brothers and sisters. It's like, no, she did it, No, he did it. And that stuff is has begun once again. You got to remember, she had a restraining order against her brother, and then when she had no place to go, well, that restraining order got rescinded. She could stay there, this, that, and the other. And now that they're in trouble again, well, she goes and blames Tommy again for this, that, and the other, which turned out to be theft of a pump shotgun and some soap. But the thing is that I get the feeling that if Tommy Crosland knows anything, he's starting to see some things pile up on him here, and he might feel that he is being ganged up upon. And if the pressure is going in that direction, I still believe that he might still know something. If he does, he'll divulge it soon.
Hey, Let's take a quick call. Someone coming in from the 386 area code. Well, what's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hey, my name is Sue. Hey, TJ.
Hey.
And why aren't we looking at JoJo in Tennessee? Because Misty, Tommy, Timmy, and JoJo are involved in this case.
I tell you what, you're talking a very popular theory here locally. So a lot of people still believe that this Cousin Joe fella has something, if not everything, to do with this. Everything from the argument about a gun, then it being retrieved in a ditch, his hasty exit, the fact that he's been questioned a number of times by the Putnam County authorities, FDLE, and the FBI. They don't have enough on this character to bring him back for anything at this point in time. Maybe this game of chicken that's being played in jail right now could lead to something that points us back in that direction. And Sue, you're right. A lot of people still believe that this Cousin Joe has a lot to do with the outcome of this case.
Well, he's the one that went in the house and took her.
That's what everybody thinks.
No, I can tell you. He was in Tommy's truck. And he went in the back door and he came. I know.
How do you know? Uh-oh, bullshit.
Why do I know?
Yes, tell us.
Say that again?
So you know, a lot of stuff, stop being cryptic. Just spill the beans.
Okay, I'm a psychic. I work with the police. I know what I saw. I know what I see. I know everything I see is being dead on right now.
Well,
okay? It's not bull crap. I'm sorry for your bad luck if you don't like it.
Let's hope that you're correct. I mean, I don't think...
He went in the back door. She left it unlocked. He went in. He took that baby. He was in the truck. Him and Tommy met up somewhere along the way and took back into the woods.
But the reason, the thing is, and this is what I always question, is why?
Misty did not like this girl. Misty hated this girl. She was she interfered. She took away the attention from her for Ron.
I had to go back to the 911 call when Ronald and Misty say they were looking under beds. What beds?
Yeah, they were
sleeping on mattresses. Uh-huh. So to me, why would Ronald say that unless he was, you know, trying to be, you know, dramatic, trying to cover up for himself? You know, I don't see anybody that we need to look at, the, you know, all these cousins and all these pedophiles. We need to look at Misty and Ron.
Ron has nothing to do with this. I will guarantee
you. Well, I'm
you
looking
that.
At this not from a psychic level, but I'm looking at this from a common sense level.
Okay,
well, the police have all but, believe this or not, folks, but going back to August 17th, the police have all but cleared the biological parents in this case. All but, meaning that they're everybody's still a suspect, but the biological parents, they put them basically at the bottom of the suspect list.
Can I ask the caller a question?
Senator.
Yeah, I was just wondering... What do you see, if anything, as to the current status of Haley Cummings? Do you have any thoughts on that?
The most that I see right now is probably going to be a skull with some blonde hair.
So you believe she's deceased?
Anybody can say
she
that.
She was deceased that same night.
Okay, Simon, can I ask you a question to follow up on that?
Oh, certainly.
We talked a few seconds ago before the call about... what was being done, the game going on in the jailhouse about trying to get people to talk. Was I correct in that what you were saying was the police apparently aren't offering deals, or the authorities aren't offering deals at this point? They're trying to increase the pressure for someone to break rather than making a deal. Was that what your thought?
Oh, well, I should probably restate that in a different fashion. I have no clue, you know, what the police are actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
It had been my guess that they were going to, you know, round these folks up, separate them, and give them a, well, I won't say a bad time, but... Yeah, you know, no one wants to spend time behind bars, you know, and they'd go round the group one by one saying, hey, you know, if you spill the beans, you know, maybe you won't be looking at so much jail time.
Okay.
But they don't seem to be playing it that way.
That's
going along with
the caller's ideas. It seems to me that you could read into this. If the authorities are not, in fact, being aggressive in the deal-making department, and that seems to be the way it appears, as far as we know, and we could be wrong, obviously, it's speculation, but if that's true and they're waiting for someone to crack without having to offer some kind of a great deal, I suppose you could read into that there's no sense of urgency, which could lead to the maybe, unlike before, they've decided they're not looking for a live Haley. Is that something that could be read into that if they're not going at breakneck speed to get a cooperating witness?
Well, that's possible. Although I think you could equally make the the call that let's put the pressure on first, see what happens. If nothing happens, you know, then come back and be the nice guy.
Can I ask the caller a question? Is she still with us?
Yep.
Sue?
Yes, I'm here.
You say that you see everything, you know everything. So if this is the case, why don't you bring them to where Haley's body is and find her and get
this
over with?
We've been over there. Do you know how hard it is to find a body?
Well,
especially
I mean, if
woods.
You're saying that you know where she, I mean, you see everything, you apparently see where she's at.
I've been over there numerous times.
Well, then...
How far away from the house is the body?
Within 3 miles.
Well, then how
you
come
think?
They haven't found her?
Because they're walking
3 miles.
Over her.
Because what?
They're walking over her.
They're walking over her?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's buried under leaves and sticks and everything and overgrowth. Animals have taken her bones. It's very hard when you're dealing with...
Okay, you know what? They would have had cadaver dogs out there, and cadaver dogs would have picked it up.
Not necessarily.
Why not? Yes, they pick up a dead sim. That's what they're trained to look for. And they've been out there. Yeah, they would have found the body already if that's the case.
Not if they didn't go to the right spot.
You said they've been over her. That's the contradiction in what you're saying.
No, I'm talking about
Yes. Research.
I didn't say nothing about cadaver dogs. And if you want to fight with
somebody, you
might as well fight with somebody else, because I'm not going to fight with you. And I take it your name is Levi, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, that's good.
You said they've been over her body.
They have been. EquiSearch has been over her body. They searched the area several times. They still haven't
found her. And I'm sure EquiSearch has had cadaver dogs. And I'm sure the police have had cadaver dogs 3 miles away from the home. I'm sure the police have had cadaver dogs 3 miles away from the home.
Okay, well, you can say what you want, because I know you're here with us, and I know you know that we've been, you know, sitting here doing absolutely nothing for the last year.
Well, you know,
you're supposedly an investigative journalist, and I'm going to tell you something. Your investigative skills are poor.
Well, your psychic skills are terrible. You've just made contradiction after contradiction.
We're not here to throw digs at anybody. We're just trying to find this little girl. And you come on and you say that you see everything, you know what's going on. So I ask you a simple question. Where is she then?
Unfortunately, we've lost the caller. But
I thought I was on a blog board.
But I would suggest to the caller, if she is still listening, that, you know, if your information is so exact, please let the Putnam County Sheriff's Office know about it, or indeed your local law enforcement. I'm sure they'll be happy to pass the message along. Oh, my. Okay. What else? Well, you know, I've been talking about... Oh, no, actually, what else is a question for TJ? And this is coming in from the chat room.
Okay.
What do you know about the ATM records showing Ron used the machine before his 3 a.m. shift ended, and him being seen around 5:30, 6 p.m. on February the 9th.
There were stories, and unconfirmed stories, and I've talked to the investigators about that, about him possibly meeting with some guy over a tree trimming situation and yelling and screaming and this and that and the other and wanting to get paid and everything. But when it came right down to it, when investigators asked the alleged victim, he couldn't really quite remember which day it was and exactly what time it was. So the word I got from investigators was, if it did happen, what day did it happen? A lot of that kind of fell right through, because they're not even sure that it did happen the way it was being portrayed to them in questioning. As far as ATM records, I've no knowledge of that. I have no knowledge of that whatsoever, so I can't comment on that. I can only tell you about that alleged argument that took place. The parties involved couldn't remember if it was a Sunday or a Monday or a Tuesday or what day it was. Evidently there was an exchange of words, according to this fellow who had some tree work done. And like I said, we've been following that. I keep getting dead ends on that story like you wouldn't believe. It sounds so believable. It sounds so plausible, but yet when you come right down to it and you try to get to the facts of the matter, they just kind of fall apart. A lot of the stories that the folks say contradict themselves and the other events that have been portrayed. So it's one of those, another instance where you're talking to rocks or you're talking to Jell-O, unfortunately.
Levi, you're a smart cookie. Clearly, this roundup of folks is designed to apply pressure. That there's only one person that we haven't heard any news about, Hope Sykes. Is she merely collateral damage?
You know, Simon, I really don't know that much about her. You know, she's been pretty quiet in this case, and, you know, to be frankly honest, I didn't know who she was until this arrest, and I was like, who is Hope Sykes, until it was all explained. So, you know, I really don't know how she fits into this equation. And that's just going to be very interesting to see what we can find out on her.
TJ, you got any scoops on Hope?
No exclusives today.
Okay, well, let's move on to another exclusive. Hank Croslin Sr.
Sorry.
Claims that his daughter is not a drug dealer. And
of course not. Of course not.
This is coming from a man accused of doctor shopping for the same pills that Misty's accused of selling.
It appears in the Art Harris exclusive, and we want to give props to where they're due, that the quote from Hank was, hey, look, this here is a cesspool in Palatka. You know how it goes in Putnam County with all these drugs. She was just helping people and taking their money for the help.
Mighty nice of her.
Quite neighborly.
Very.
Denny, you must have some thoughts on this one.
Well, I've got thoughts that are probably not suitable for the evening.
It's okay. We're not regulated by the FCC.
Well, it's one of these things. I guess you have to laugh at. If not, you kind of feel insulted that that anyone would expect you would swallow this explanation, as she's just a good-hearted soul and she's trying to do a favor for some needy people or people in need of help.
Well, is he the person? I mean,
yeah.
After all, you know, he has been arrested for the use of the same drugs.
Yeah, I have real trouble buying into that.
Yeah, me too.
Levi, you must have some comments if you can
stop
laughing.
Both the parents. You know, remember Ronald's mother, Teresa Neves, came out there and said, oh, well, you know, it was Misty's fault that Ron got into this thing. She blamed everything on Misty, and then Misty's dad comes out there and says it's not her fault. She's not a drug dealer. You know what? None of those excuses make any sense, and they're all just laughable.
But, I mean, Levi, you're a reporter. TJ, you're a reporter. I mean, would you have run that silly story?
I would have to check to see what the other news of the day is, you know, if it was a slow day, maybe. But usually there are far more, you know, important things like, you know, folks driving in Marion County without their clothes on a motorcycle that, you know, maybe that story would probably get a little higher bump. You know,
oh,
that does happen. Yeah,
you didn't send that story to me.
No. We get nudie scooters every now and then. They just pull up by the police, you know. Hey, how's it going? You know, tear off. But you know, it would probably be something I would hold for a rainy day. I wouldn't be saying, you know, it's right up there with somebody getting a new tattoo.
I would like to make a comment with all this right now, though. I mean, it's maybe not exactly the right time for it, but I mean, we talk about the Croslins and all their dope dealings and drugs and all this, their problems that they have, and Ronald being mixed up in it, and even Crystal being, hooked on drugs.
Right.
But, I mean, we need to stop and think, was this really a good environment for either one of these kids to be in?
No.
And Junior both were right in the middle of this. They stay with their daddy, they're in the middle of it. They stay with their mother, they're in the middle of it. And, I mean, we have to realize, too, that these kids were wrapped up right in the middle of all this. And it's sad because this isn't something that just started since Haley's been missing. This
no.
is
yeah,
going
you know,
on the whole time. The whole time.
You
and
know, Ronald had only known Misty for 4 months. He'd only known her for 4 months, and he moved her in, and she was taking care of the children. That's just not a very good environment for any child, no matter what, whether it's a teenager or if it's someone Haley and Junior's age.
Well, no, it's not a
well,
good environment.
Misty was a teenager at the time.
True. But, I mean, that I just had to bring that up. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. I tell you what, it's a sad. It's a, you know, I'm not the first person to say this. Certainly won't be the last. But those kids, you know, you don't get a chance to pick your parents.
And also, you know, I mean, it's
and
not only Haley and Junior. Look at all.
It's
I mean,
so many kids. It's so
right,
many kids
that are growing up in this kind of a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only lifestyle they know. And then when they get adults, they lead the same lifestyle because they don't know any other. I mean, it's really sad.
It is.
Okay, I do want to make a comment. That there was some hate mail floating around for the past couple of days. That there was a letter posted on BNN, and I do want to point out that it was posted by a commenter and not by BNN. We have removed it at the request of the parties involved, and today we received another anonymous email that purports to be the reply to the letter. So my advice to the people involved is do not copy people on your private emails. I don't know how much stronger I can say that. I mean, the internet's a wonderful tool, but if you say anything, it is going to get out. I mean, copying a person on an email almost inevitably leads to trouble. Levi, you kind of followed the grief. I mean, how grim was it?
Well, people were kind of mad that it was posted, but you know, it was a commenter that left it. I mean, you guys can't be responsible for every commenter that comments on the site because there's tons of commenters that are following this case. And to me, I think that if emails are being leaked, do you think that maybe this was, you know, leaked on purpose by the parties involved?
I think it's possible. I'm being hammered in the chat room. People want to know who asked for it to be removed. TJ, would that be an okay thing to say?
I believe it's okay. I received a text message from Teresa Neves, and I passed along the information to you. She said the information in that letter was factual, but please remove the letter. So, you know,
out of respect for her, I think she didn't post it. So
no,
she
didn't.
I think she had every right to ask for it to be removed.
She did not post it.
And we were more than happy to remove it. In fact, I believe when we spotted it, we did put a rider
but
at the bottom.
That I wasn't sure if it was actual authentic or not. I didn't know because it was the first I had even heard of the letter. So I didn't want people to think that we were posting something as fact. So we didn't post it, though. Somebody else did. So
anyway, you if Teresa Neves is listening in, please accept our apologies. It wasn't our fault. You know, we just didn't know, but we do now. There's been some talk about more arrests pending, Any word on that?
But Simon, did you hear that? I think I've heard. Has Charles Jones? Was there a warrant for his arrest? Remember the guy that was in the, you know, the road rage back and forth with Misty and Ronald? I've heard some rumblings, but I just heard it just right before we went on the air. Has anybody confirmed whether they have an arrest warrant for him?
I'm right now taking a look to see that, because I heard that rumble too. I got a phone call about 20 minutes before the show, and so I didn't get to the computer in time. As you know, I signed on 90 seconds before the program, as usual. So I will do a quick search.
Okay. TJ, we're holding for your answer. Let's talk about some of the other online activities. It would seem, and I won't credit the person with his real name. I'll use Cobra's favorite nickname, Crayon Timmy. He seems to have pointed his guns firmly at Picasso and Jeremiah Reagan. I guess it must be a
Why?
I guess it must be a slow day in Minnesota.
Was this an exclusive too?
Oh, very light. Yeah. And this well-trodden path was, you know, overgrown months ago. I also suspect that it won't take Picasso very long to retaliate. She doesn't like this kind of stuff. Have any of the panel read the nonsense?
No.
Oh, you haven't missed the thing.
You know, the people have their tinfoil hats on with this case, you know, weaving their conspiracy theories here and there. You know, we've witnessed a sidekick, and now we have this guy with all of his recorded telephone calls and everything that he has info to back everything up. I haven't read his latest, but I'm sure it would be very entertaining to read.
Oh,
got a little something on the warrants here. The only warrants we have for the Joneses are for two gentlemen by the name of Charles Jones, black males, one for a shoplifting and one for a family offense. So we don't have the Charles Jones that for active warrants. And I also checked the jail population, not in as of the website.
Okay, thank you.
Not a problem.
Okay, let's move on to another interesting person, Donna Brock. I mean, when I first heard the story about her being rounded up with the rest of the miscreants, you know, I also thought that it was collateral damage, but it doesn't seem to be. Levi, you got any take on the Donna Brock situation?
You know, all I've heard was that she had asked for her bond to be reduced, and apparently she wants to participate in the discovery. So that would mean to me that she's pleading not guilty, and she's going to fight these charges. She wants to know what the prosecution has on her, which means that she's not speaking, and she's not taking a deal. As of yet.
She seems to know her way around the courthouse, but what's the name of that special hearing that I sent you, Simon?
Oh, good Lord, it's something in Latin.
The Nebbia.
Yeah. Following the Donna Brock Road, you're right.
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of crazy. It appears to me that the prosecution and law enforcement actually really want to know just who the heck this woman is and what she's all about, and why are you pleading poor mouth, and why are you taking a public defender, and how is it that you got all these properties in three different places? And you know, there's more questions than answers with this mystery woman.
Yeah, Levi, you have talked to Donna, I believe.
Yes, off and on. And you know what was interesting is this dentist. I'd actually thought that this dentist we're hearing now where she got these drugs from, this dentist is actually from Virginia. So that puts another state in this equation.
That is crazy.
Didn't they say that this dentist, TJ, that her and Misty actually went to Virginia to get the drugs, and that's whenever the undercover called them and to meet them at, you know, I think it was the gas station or somewhere. On
Lion J.
Back in Florida,
J.
Yes.
Yeah.
So apparently this woman is living in so many different states. I mean, I think she actually worked for this dentist. So that gives us Florida. That gives us North Carolina. That gives us Georgia. And then that gives us Virginia.
Whew.
Yeah.
Now, at the...
That'll make them crazy, Levi. Thank you.
At the time that she was working for Texas Equisearch and tasked with becoming Misty's new best female friend, BFF, everyone seemed to be saying that this was a well-heeled woman. She was married. She lived in Orlando. Hubby, don't know anything about. But this all seems like a load of BS.
Oh. They're going to be waiting in BS. I mean, this is going to take much longer than what it's worth just to get to the identity of this woman, what she's all about, and what she does. You want to talk about a sideshow? The ultimate sideshow has just begun.
Oh, I can't wait to see what happens with this Donna Brock hearing. I don't have the Latin term in front of me, but as I understand it, the hearing is basically to figure out who she is. Like, she's got a car that's registered in one state. She's got a driver's license from another. She claims residency somewhere else. But what do we know about the hubby?
I don't know anything about the guy.
I've heard that he's don't quote me, but I've heard that he was retired military, and I've also heard that they were separated or divorced, and then I'm hearing, well, the rumblings are that they were together, so I'm not very sure.
Familiar in this theme, I tell you.
I mean, life in Putnam.
Simon.
Yes.
I'm just wondering now if Miss Brock, especially if she fights this and pleads not guilty and so forth, do we foresee Tim Miller and Equisearch being back in the picture through discovery and that type of thing? I'm assuming that they would be, huh?
Oh, I think you can pretty much guarantee it, John.
Yeah, we're going to see Donna Brock sing like a bird. This is a woman who does not like Tim Miller. She was mad when they fired her. She was angry. She was out to get him, whether the information that she was passing on to people was true or not. And then she also told me that she told detectives stuff, and I'm not going to repeat it because I don't know if it's true, but she told me that she told these detectives stuff, and she said that if the Sunshine Law kicks into effect, that we're going to hear all of this stuff, and she said that she was going to be happy when TES is exposed.
Wow.
Ouch.
And... Simon posted the picture on his website where, you know, she's flipping Tim Miller off, or supposedly, allegedly
at a funeral for Summer Thompson.
Yes, a couple of days before she got the boot from Equisearch. So apparently there was bad blood with her and Tim Miller.
Well, once again, I've received quite a bit of
hate mail over that.
Yeah, I've received emails from at least two people claiming that they are in the picture, and asking that I retract it.
Also claiming that they weren't flipping off Miller.
Right. They'd had a bad day, and the gesture was aimed at someone else. Blah blah blah. But I have a tendency to go along with the idea that the intended victim was Tim Miller, and it's more the timing than anything else. You know, how come 3 days later she gets her walking papers? In fact, what I really want to know, and I haven't been able to find out the answer, is was she a paid member of Texas Equisearch?
Well, she was paid $3,000 to entertain Misty on a little vacation. I mean, that's paid. That come out of Tim Miller. He admitted that he gave her money to entertain her. So.
Do you have any idea, Levi?
No, I don't have any idea on whether or not she was paid. We know that she was paid money to do these, you know, these things that she was doing with Misty to try to get information out of her. We know that she was working not only with Tim Miller, but I've also heard that even after she was fired from Tim Miller, that she was still working with L.E. But then L.E. recently had told her, hey, you know, cut your ties, stop being around her. We're just going to let her, you know, fall off her rocker. We're going to take a different strategy to see how that works. She didn't do it. She kept on doing it. And what I noticed is that whenever I first started talking with her, she was very, very suspicious of Misty. She's like, I'm going to get information out of her. She thinks that she's smarter than me. She thinks that she has me fooled. She don't. I'm on to her. But then recently she was like, Misty started playing, you know, Misty's the victim. Misty is just a little teenage girl who likes to get her hair done and do all these girly things. And she sort of started sounding bitter towards law enforcement as well as Texas Equisearch.
Hmm.
Well, as for the question about whether or not she was a paid employee or a volunteer, do you fire volunteers?
I think you let them know that their services are not wanted and that
you need not be
wearing our buttons or T-shirts.
But to say that they fire a volunteer, I mean, I've never heard that said before.
Neither have I.
They are a paid employer.
Yeah, I mean.
And this was a official letter that he of her termination, with any and ask for all her Texas Equisearch stuff back.
Yeah, I worked for an organization, and we were a non-profit, and very much we relied on volunteers. Occasionally you'd get one that, you know, stepped over the bounds, shall we say. But, I mean, you couldn't fire them. You know, you just sort of...
Do you guys know how long she was affiliated with Texas Equisearch? Because I know that she also was searching for Kaylee. She was searching for a dead Kaylee. She was with them, I think that's when she got involved, I think, was with the Kaylee Anthony case. And something interesting that she said, that whenever they were going through Orlando, Misty wanted to be dropped off at the home of Cindy Anthony because Misty loves Cindy Anthony, but Donna didn't want to do it because Cindy apparently hates Donna.
Hmm.
Ooh, that is interesting.
God, can this thing get any more frickin' sillier?
Levi,
I'm not killing the message. My mind can't even wrap my. I can't wrap my mind around it. So it's nothing against the messenger, but the thought of that is like, how in the world? Oh, why would you want to be on that woman's doorstep? You know,
yeah.
And her looking out the window, going, why is that woman on my doorstep? I got troubles of my own.
Because I heard that Cindy Anthony was very nice to Misty during the whenever they came down there, whenever Haley first went missing to provide their services, and then Ronald mm-hmm. said he didn't want their services. But apparently Misty is a big fan of Cindy Anthony and wanted to talk with her and wanted to visit them at their home. And Donna said, Cindy Anthony hates me, because Donna said that when she was at Kaylee Anthony's funeral, that Cindy Anthony was glaring at her. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true or not. That's just what I've been told. But we have Donna apparently taking Misty to all different sorts of states, and apparently law enforcement was tracking them. They knew everywhere that Misty went, and that is so stupid of them to traffic these drugs when they know that law enforcement is watching every move that you make.
It's stupid. I mean, just look at the entire bunch that are behind bars right now. And, you know, not just the famous five, but, that's a plug for Enid Blyton. You know, it was a series of kids' books in the 1960s.
I got it. I got the reference.
Right? But, I mean, you know, all of the rest of the folks that have been caught up as byproducts of the Haley Cummings disappearance. I mean, there's a lot of people in Putnam County that just aren't having a good time.
Okay, I do have another question now that you're mentioning something like this. To begin with, now, I know everybody says that they're not smart enough to do things, but as I've said last week, somebody is smart enough to pull this off, because it's been almost a year now and they have pulled it off. But what I want to find out is, if just say, for instance, if you are guilty of a crime such as this, would you actually do things to keep your name in the public eye, to keep the law enforcement to watch your every move? Would you?
Well, look at OJ.
Would you do that, or would you go and keep to yourself and keep quiet and let everything just play it out on its own?
Remember, OJ Simpson was found not guilty of murder, but, you know, he went into a Las Vegas hotel room, guns a-blazing, and some stuff. So people think that they can get away with anything they want. I think that after they were not charged with anything for a while, their ego built up, and they thought that they could do anything they want. They could deal drugs, sell drugs, traffic drugs.
Yeah, but they didn't just start that. This has been going on since Haley's been missing, and even probably before, that none of us really knew anything about. But what I'm saying is they have not stopped. It seems like if they were all guilty, or if the guilty party was one of them, they would be lying low, and not getting into any trouble, because you wouldn't want the law to be focusing on you for any other thing if you was guilty of this crime, because it has become such a high-profile case. Why would they want to keep their name popping up every time you turn around, see your name? I mean, I know a lot of people have a lot of ego, but, I mean, this is for something. Every time you turn around, it's not just for the same thing over and over again. It's always for something different. Okay, this is for breaking and entering. This is for this or that. Maybe I'm not making myself clear, but that I just don't understand why, if they are guilty of something, why are they continuing in the public eye? Why are they continuing in trouble where law enforcement's leaving the door open to be questioned over this or that, to where they can be actually tricked into giving up what they know? And they know this. So why would they put themselves in a position if that's the case?
If I'm a prosecutor, when this is all wrapping up and I got 5 miles of evidence of somebody, then they've done the right thing. But if we're still looking for a live child, I'm getting angry because we might be moving way too slow. I mean, it's almost a year. So I understand your frustration.
Okay, let's go on to this live child issue.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It's going to be a year in, 10 days.
Yeah.
A year is a very
long time.
Seems
like a lifetime.
Yeah. Do you honestly believe that she is still alive?
I'm sorry, in my heart, I do. I can't give it up yet.
I'm in the same boat. My mind tells me one thing, my heart's telling me completely the opposite.
No, I still feel that she's alive.
That's where my sense is.
I just feel it, that she is alive, and I pray to God that I'm right. But let me ask one more thing. There's somebody in the chat room, they keep asking. They want to know if during the undercover sting, was there any children in the car whenever they were busted, I guess is what they're trying to ask. Do you know, TJ?
I didn't. I don't recall seeing children being mentioned in the police report.
I don't either, but they keep asking about it, so I wanted to ask.
Right. I think it probably stems from the road rage in...
Yeah.
She claimed that they had kids in there. Misty did.
Right.
For that.
But once again, the police report doesn't...
I know.
Doesn't state that there are kids involved.
I don't know.
Not in either case.
Right. But now the 911 call that Misty made, she said they had children with them.
People lie sometimes in order to get prompt service.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Sometimes just people lie because they can't help it.
I've always thought that 911 was pretty prompt. You know, you really didn't have to bribe them a whole lot.
No, they are ready, willing, and able to come to your rescue. But I will tell you, as a guy, back when I was in Illinois, I was sitting out a no-compete contract between broadcasting jobs. And what was putting food on the table was working 6 months as a 911 operator in the command center. As we call it, the bubble. And people will tell you all different kinds of things. Oh, there's a fight out in the street. Oh, we got to get this stopped. Oh, my God, there's children watching. This is the middle of the night. Okay, 2, 3 in the morning, there are children watching? Really? Okay, we're sending cars on the way. And they were. They were en route pretty fast because nobody wants to get hurt. Nobody wants to, you want to protect and serve, and that's what the officers did. However, they weren't coming fast enough, so this lady's going, oh, dear Lord, they got guns, they got guns. I said, they got guns, so I put 1032 man with a gun. And when they got there, there were no weapons. It was just people pushing and shoving. The woman ran real close to getting arrested for making a false 911 report, simply because if she thought that if she yelled, they've got guns, the cars would get there faster.
Right.
Mm.
So,
okay.
I mean, that's just one thing. I mean, that's just one example of, you know, sorry.
Denny, you've been very quiet, and I always get concerned when you go quiet. It means you're thinking.
Yes, a couple of things. We've got, we always get back to the issue of is Haley dead or alive, and it's tough, like Jane was saying, in her heart, and to TJ also, that they would hope and think and so forth that she's alive. Then you've got the head, the logical approach, which takes into account the time she's been gone, that there have been no credible sightings, at least to my knowledge. And when I have my logical hat on, I have to come to the conclusion that she's deceased. And I say that with no pleasure. It's just the way it shakes out for me. Hopefully I'm wrong. And getting back to the environment the kids were in, maybe TJ knows this. I'm wondering that obviously some people in that town, some people in the vicinity of where the Cummings family lived, or
mm-hmm.
people who worked with them or socialized with them or something, was there one person out of the many who sensed that the kids were in a rather bad environment and call Child Protective. Did Child Protective have a history of going to this residence? And
well, didn't Ronald how Child Services told him that he could spank Haley?
Yeah, this has been going on quite a bit. Crystal and her family were always making complaints. In fact, even during the couple of days after Haley was gone, they were making complaints again, and they thought, with very good reason, for the simple fact that you got one child missing, let's get the other one out of there. But they had been making complaints. But I think what Levi you're recalling of all people, Geraldo Rivera, when he went in there and he said, look, you do drugs, you're an informant, you spank your kids, you got problems with, you got a temper issue. And he said, look, DCF has been to my house, and they have told me that we have a daddy-daughter relationship, and that I have spanked her, but you don't go over any lines. You have a daddy-daughter relationship. He said that right there on Fox News. That was real early in the get-go. That was probably early March, late February, early March when that came out.
So is anybody, I realize that Haley and finding her is the main issue, and now we got the criminal things with the drugs and all that. But when this dust settles here, will anyone do an analysis of this whole thing to exactly whatever the conclusion is of how it got there? In other words, was the ball dropped anywhere along the way? Maybe this could have been prevented. Do you think there'll be?
Danny, I'm on board with you.
Analysis?
I'm on board with you. Kind of the lessons learned thing. I really do hope that every agency that's been involved in this will do a synopsis, will do a review, and will do a lessons learned, and take this as an opportunity to maybe learn from this case, pro and con, what worked, what didn't work, and apply it to their mechanisms of what they can and can't do in serving the people. Our tax dollars go to fund these folks, and I get the feeling that the people who are out there really want to do a good job. But I will tell you, DCF is understaffed. There are way too many idiots out there for them to do their jobs. And then on the other hand, there's the accusation that DCF is a bit of a bunch of overzealous Nazis that want to take kids away from everybody. And there have been a lot of stories down here that would indicate that they've made some horrible mistakes on that end, too, where they won't go after the bad people. But let's say, you have a particular religious belief that they just don't think is too PC. Next thing you know, what? Your kids are gone. How'd that happen? There's a lot of room for ironing out some problems, but I sure hope that they do have the means and the methodology to go through this and analyze it like you suggested, sir, one by one, to see what worked, what didn't work, and how can we refine our systems so that we will never, ever see something like this ever happen again to another family.
I hope... Because you have to learn from mistakes, if there were any mistakes made here, that they need to point it out, and like you say, so it doesn't happen in the future.
Mm. All right. Well, one thing that comes to my mind is the night or morning of the disappearance. There's a popular show on the TV, the first 48 hours, cop show, fictional, and I think fictional could be.
Well, so they don't have any exclusives?
No, they don't have any exclusives. But I mean, the point of the title is that the first 48 hours is the telling time. If you don't crack the case within that period, it becomes way, way harder. I mean, looking back to what we know about that first 48 hours, should anything different have been done?
Boy, that's tough to say. The law enforcement did everything that they were supposed to do by the book, and I mean by the book. They got the CART situation taken care of with multi-jurisdictional task force there with FDLE, FBI. Everything, like I said, by the book. They located or attempted to locate all known sexual predators and sex offenders in the area. They found the one fella wasn't where he was supposed to be, violated the boundaries in his curfew. They had him in. I mean, he's pretty much disappeared. They held him for a hell of a long time, though. But they did everything in the first 24 hours, pretty much as anyone can tell by the book. But go ahead. I just don't see where they fell down other than not finding the child, and I think that's the frustration we all share.
Okay. I'm not saying that they fell down, because they certainly didn't. But we do have information that came out months later about Tommy Croslin being at the residence at somewhere between 9 and 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do we know when they interviewed Tommy the first time around?
Probably that night. And I will tell you that relatively early, they had questions about Misty's whereabouts. They really did. It's black and white. It's in the reports. They did have questions of her whereabouts, and they've never had those resolved. And that's one of the reasons why they said from the get-go that her stories are inconsistent, they don't match up with the evidence presented, and they conflict with the evidence presented, and that she's not really told the same story twice. And then again, it kind of went under the radar. People said, oh, well, you know, it's just folks talking. And then on August 17th, what is the third or fourth paragraph of that letter on the baby's birthday say? Oh, by the way, if anybody has any information as to the whereabouts of Mrs. Croslin the night the child disappeared, please come to the Putnam County Sheriff's Office or Crime Stoppers and let us know. That's why she's the key figure here, because from the very beginning, she's been inconsistent, and there's something fishy there.
I doubt that law enforcement will do this, but, I mean, I'm sure they could also slap a charge on Tommy of withholding information.
Among other things, poor choice in dishwashing liquid.
Yeah. I still want to...
I'm telling you, if he wanted a kiss from Madge, he had to get Palmolive.
I still want to get to the bottom of the two missing bottles of Dawn.
Tony Orlando.
Can it be used in the manufacture of illegal substances?
That's a good question. Don't know. I think Scotch Brite could give you a buzz, but I don't know that Dawn dishwashing liquid could do anything but maybe clean your meth equipment.
Well, maybe that was the reason.
Good at cutting grease.
Okay.
There's a line there that's wide open, but we're not going to go there.
we're down to about the last minute of the program. I do want to thank everyone, and I want to go round the panel and get everyone's final comments. Denny, let's start with you.
Yes, I'm still holding out the hope that one of these players that's in jail is going to reach out to law enforcement with the desire that they want to be first in the door to try to get a deal. And they'll take the initiative themselves to see what they can work out, and that will result in the fairly near future of a break in the case.
TJ, your thoughts?
I'm thinking that since Misty fired the first shot, that Tommy is going to respond in kind, and I think he might realize the gravity of all the crap he's facing. And that the fact that day by day is just getting a whole lot worse for him. He has his bond's been revoked. He's going to be there a long time. Why not make yourself comfortable? Why not come clean with everything you know? I mean everything you know. He's had several opportunities, and if he doesn't know anything, well, he's going to be in jail a long time anyway. You know, just on his own account. But if he does know something, it would be in his best interest to get it out in the open and get it going as fast as possible.
Levi.
You know, I think law enforcement has had a very tough time in this case. I mean, look at all that they've had to deal with. We've had a psychic call into the show. How many psychics have called them with all sorts of information? How many tipsters? How many ambulance-chasing attorneys have gotten involved in this case? And how many distractions have we had? So I think under the circumstances, law enforcement has done a good job, and I think that they did an excellent job infiltrating this drug ring, and I hope whatever their strategy is, I just hope it works.
I hope so, too.
Jan.
Let's find Haley.
Amen.
That's all I'm concerned about right now. They can all sit in rotten jail, as far as I'm concerned, as long as it brings this little girl home where she belongs.
I think I second that. I don't think that Putnam County will be a worse place without these miscreants, you know, walking the streets. Anyway, our time is up, and I do want to thank my illustrious panel. TJ, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for the exclusive.
You know, I'm sure a lot of listeners won't get that jibe, but they will eventually. Exclusive. BNN exclusive on exclusives. Denny, it is always delightful to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking part.
I always look forward to the show, Simon, and I'll be talking with you and Jane Wednesday night for the Missing and Exploited Children show.
Looking forward to it.
I hope I can handle it.
Levi, thank you so much for taking part.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you all for being here.
Okay, this is Simon Barrett wishing... Well, Simon and Jen Barrett.
Thank you.
Who dat?
Yeah, who dat?
Yeah, you're right. Go Saints.
Right. Wishing everyone a great day. And we will be back again next Sunday. Let's hope it doesn't interfere with the Super Bowl.
No, it'll be before the Super Bowl.
Okay. All right.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.